This is Twit.
The regular Dell XPS 13 still exists as a clamshell that, you know, doesn't bend all the way back and is not a tablet convertible 2-in-1. This is the first XPS 13 that kind of takes in the 360-degree hinge. You can, yeah. It's the yoga-esque design where you can, you know, put the screen on the back, use it as a tablet, all that type of stuff. You know, it's still got the Infinity Edge display, which you can see in that photo there, which is really nice. It still has the camera at the bottom, which is not great. And in this case, it's actually in the middle. You can, yeah. Yes. Yes. If you're going to do a call and you don't need to type anything or use a trackpad, then yes, you can tent it and have the camera face forward. But it is in the middle, so it's a little bit better than just off to the side this way. And also, the two lenses in there, is one of them is the IR camera, used for depth sensing, used for Windows Hello, which Ken, who did the review, was actually really impressed with. The speed and accuracy and reliability of that login methodology. It's funny, the last couple of days I was using it and kind of messing around with it as I was editing his articles and stuff. And when I went to turn it on, I'd always have to I just go find Ken and I say, Ken, look at this laptop for a second. So that it would unlock, right? Rather than go in and change all the security settings.
Right.
I do wonder about that. If you have facial recognition on a phone, if somebody picks up your phone and just points it at your face for a second and then they have unlocked your phone or whatever. Well, I mean, they've got pointed at your physical face. Then they can run away with your unlocked phone. I don't know. It was just
first
interesting.
They got to knock you out. Then they got to point the phone at your face.
Yeah. or if you're asleep. Yes, they can. I guess they can do that with your fingerprint too if you're asleep. Just a little bit more difficult. The main primary hardware change in here. Oh, go ahead.
There we go. Yeah, I was about to say the Core i7 Intel the 7Y75 CPU.
Yes. And in fact, the one we had was the Core i5 7Y54. Okay. And despite the Core i5 Core i7 naming scheme, they're Core M parts. They're the 4.5 watt TDP Y series CPUs. So they are significantly lower power and thus lower performance over extended work, extended utilization methodologies, right? So, I think this is a part where the base clock speed is incredibly low, but the burst clock speed is incredibly high. So the Core i5 that we has a base of 1.2, but a max turbo of 3.2. So you're talking about a 2 gigahertz delta between the base and the max turbo. Now, the base is the clock speed where it's kind of guaranteed to not go below if you're doing extended workload. But a 1.2 gigahertz processor, dual core, in 2017 is going to be pretty slow, right? So if you look at our benchmark pages and you look at things like Cinebench and you look at anything that runs over a period of time, you're going to see that it's going to score pretty low because of it. But if you go down towards the bottom, you'll see some graphs where we actually recorded the clock speeds of the MateBook, which was last generation's Y series part, and then the XPS 13. And what you'll see is if you compare the blue graph to the orange graph, the orange graph spends more time at its base clock speed, at the lower speeds, than the blue. And this is, I think this is running PCMark, is that right? And yeah, so this is running a PCMark benchmark run. Now, you can see that, the orange spikes up to 3.5 gigahertz, whereas the blue, if you go up a little bit, only spikes up to 2.5, maybe a little bit 2.6 or 7 or so in a couple of rare cases. So what you'll find is in using the device for web browsing or anything like that, it doesn't feel slow. It doesn't perform slowly because those are very bursty workloads where you touch the screen and scroll, but then pause, and then the clock speed goes back down. The whole idea behind this and speed shift and all that and getting to the higher clock speed quicker is that you want lower average thermals so that you can make the device thinner, you can run at lower voltages, you don't have to worry about cooling as much. But the expense of that, at the expense of, hey, I have to do the odd video transcode on this machine, right? Or, I've got this file on my network. I want to convert it to a file I can put on my iPad. My PC is the best thing to do this. My laptop is now my PC. now you have to do this kind of extended workload. And you can see there that, you know, the MacBook Pro and the ThinkPad are doing that at significantly lower times than either of the Core M based or whatever you want to call them now.
Yeah, great Y series day-to-day cards. Computer. Horrible content creation. You know, like day-to-day, great. Content creation, not so much.
I'll also say that, like, you know, they put a pretty big battery in it, so the battery life is good. The power consumption is low. The hinges add a little bit of weight. You know, they add a little bit of size to it. Not a lot. They did a good job on the engineering side of it. But you can get the non-touch. This starts at $12.99. You can get the normal XPS 13 starting at like $7.99 or $9.99, depending on what capacities and memory and all that stuff you want to get. So it's you're paying a little bit more or a system that I don't think really offers a whole lot. I'm not a user that sees a big benefit in the convertible, like the tablet part of this. The odd case where I'm flying and I want to watch a movie on it or something, and you can flip the keyboard to the base of it and it takes up less space or whatever, that's fine. But the XPS 13 2-in-1, okay, so there's one that starts at $9.99 with that. But, you know, you're getting... so that's the Core i5s and on the two on the left, the Core i7s are the two on the right. Yeah, 4 gigs of memory is what you go down to on that, right? And so 4 gigs of memory in today's age is a little bit minimalistic, 128 gig PCIe SSD. So it's not a bad product at all. I just wasn't wowed by it like I was when I first started playing with XPS 13s. And I think, you know, Dell basically thought that, you know, the Kaby Lake variant was their third iteration of the XPS 13 that they basically hadn't changed from day one when the Broadwell one hit the scene and kind of wowed everybody immediately. They were trying to do something else. So the 2-in-1 is a good option for it. If you know you want a 2-in-1 convertible device, this is a fantastic implementation of it. But I feel like if you just want a laptop, I would look at the regular XPS 13 using the, you know, faster processors at lower prices before I really look at these.